and welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today, we have a children's story presented by Wilma Gingrich on March 3rd, 2013.
Okay, there aren't quite as many as sometimes, but there are plenty. Okay, there's a story I'd like to tell you today, but first I want to refer to, in a little bit, there'll be a scripture after we're finished here. There'll be a scripture reading of a passage, and it's about an orchard that had a fig tree. You see the tree up there? It probably was supposed to be something like that. And the fig tree, the man who owned the orchard walked past, went through his orchard, and 3 years in a row that tree didn't have any fruit on it. And he told the gardener, cut it down, it isn't worth anything. Let's burn it. And the gardener said, oh, please, just hang on for another year. I'll put some manure on it and some water, I'll water it real well. And maybe by next year it will have some fruit. Let's give it a second chance.
They didn't know it was a fig tree.
And he said, let's give it a second chance. Okay, so it ties into all the rest. So you listen to the story when someone reads it right after this. And then I want to talk about a story out of here. This book was written by Cornelia Lane. She's a Mennonite woman who wrote, she got sort of tired of it. In the papers and on the news, she was always hearing about these war heroes. And she got tired of that. She said, they do brave things, but what were their brave things about? They were like fighting real well or something like that. That's what made them, why there are media says that they're war heroes. That just isn't quite right. Let's talk about peace heroes. There are lots of people that really did wonderful things for working for peace. Let's talk, our children ought to learn all those stories. So she wrote a book like this. And the book is Peace Be With You. And all her life she worked for peace. And so this is the story. It's about a woman, Elizabeth Fry, who lived back over 100 years ago in England. And she was just really upset at how awful the prisons were. And so she said, that's something I can do. I'll visit the people in prison. Now, have any of you ever been in a jail or a prison?
No.
Okay. The prisons back in England over 100 years ago were pretty awful places. But they were just different, but they weren't that much worse than what our prisons are today. Over 10 years ago, about 12 years ago, I went to visit a prisoner in Georgia. And I have been writing to him ever since. And prison is a pretty nasty place today, too. It's not a nice place to be. So when I talk about that prison, it's a little different, but it's not that different. When she went to the prison, she found that there were some really bad people that had murdered and done things like that were thrown into the prison. Then there were some people who were so poor that they didn't have any money to buy food. So they stole sometimes in order to get a little bit of food to stay alive or to get some clothing, which is quite a different thing from murdering someone, you know? It's not good, but if they wanted to stay alive and their families were hungry and at home, they stole a little bit. Okay, so they ended up in prison. Then there were other people yet. Sometimes when parents couldn't pay their debts, the whole family was thrown into prison until they pay their debts. Can you imagine that? Doesn't that make a lot of sense? If someone doesn't have money to pay their debts, you throw them into prison until they pay their debt? Oh.
They can't have any money.
They didn't have any money, so that doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, anyhow, so what did she do? She went into the prisons, and she sat with the people, with the women. Prisons were cold, damp. They slept on hard rocks, didn't have beds, no toilets. And the bad people, the really people that had done bad things were thrown right in with the people that did good, that just couldn't pay their debts, maybe. And that she found that very, very difficult. She said, if you want to make a good person out of a prisoner, you give them help instead of punishing them. And so when she'd go into the prison, she'd sit with the people, she'd listen to what they had to say, she'd often tell stories to the children, and sometimes take a little food along if she could, and she'd sit and knit. And she'd knit some gloves or some sweaters or whatever to give to the children that were so cold. And she could do that while she was talking and while she was listening to the people. Well, one day when she was ready to go home, while she was working in the prison, she lived in an inn, which is sort of like a hotel. And so one evening when she was going home, she was cold, she was tired, and she was so sad. She hated so badly to see how people suffered in the prisons. So she, when she was going home, she thought, ooh, I can go home where it's nice and warm, and the house is, and it's clean, and I'll have food. Oh, I am so blessed. When she went up the stairs to her room, she opened the door. She could feel that there was something wrong. So she lit a candle, you know, no electricity back then. So she lit a candle. The dresser drawer was jerked open. Her clothes were scattered around. And she saw a pair of men's shoes just peeking out from under the covers, under her bed. She said, to herself, what am I going to do? She hit the panic button. She really was scared. She didn't know what this person might do to her. So she was really frightened. And in order to gain a little bit of time so she could think what she wanted to do, she started folding some clothes that were scattered around. And then, she knew what she wanted to do. So she set her candle down, and she knelt beside the bed, right beside the shoes, you know. And she prayed, and she prayed out loud. And this is what she prayed. Dear God, have mercy on this man. I don't know what he wants. Be kind to him and help him to find his way. The shoes moved a little bit. And then she said, please, he's so confused. He doesn't know what he should do. Have mercy on him and show him your love. Well, by that time, the man got out from under the bed. He said, why are you praying for me? And she said, why don't you just call the police and get it over with? Because he was expecting she'd send him to prison because he had broken into her room. And she said, there must be a special reason why you came to my room today. Can you tell me what it is? And he said, well, no, he didn't say anything for a little bit. He looked at her as though she was crazy, you know? And then he finally said, I'm hungry. I haven't had a good meal for a long time. I am so cold and I'm hungry. And I don't have any money, so I've been stealing in order to have food and clothing. She said, I am so glad you came to my room tonight. I think I can help you. She went to the closet. She got her husband a big, heavy sweater. And she gave it to him so he wouldn't be cold. And then she said, now we'll go downstairs. There was sort of like a restaurant down below. And she said, we'll go downstairs and we'll get you something decent to eat. He said, oh, you'll feed me and then you'll send me to prison. And she said, no, I would never, ever send anyone to prison. I've been in too many prisons. I would not do that. I'll just call on the Lord instead of calling on the policeman. And he said, what in the world did you do that you ever went, that you were in prison? And she said, let's go down and eat, and I'll tell you all about it. So they went downstairs, and she got ordered food, and she gave him, and they were sitting there eating together, and she told him all about what she would do when she went to the prison to help the people. And he told her all about his life and how desperate he was and how awfully he felt it was really awful what he had to do in order to just stay alive, to eat and to have clothing. And he wanted to do something different, but he didn't know what to do and how desperate he felt. Now, when that man came into her room that evening, he was a thief. He was a burglar. But the time they were finished talking, while they talked there, they discussed what he might be able to do, what job he could get, what he could work so that he could earn some money and wouldn't need to steal. Just think of it, what a difference that was for him. By the time he left, he had some hope. I'm worth something. I can do something to make my life better. And he had made a friend. Friends are very, very helpful when we find we need help. And so he had made a friend, and he had the courage to go out and try something. Now, I'd say he had a second chance, wouldn't you? Yeah? Okay, did God give him a second chance? Or did Elizabeth Fry give him a second chance? What do you think?
Elizabeth.
Okay, I think they helped each other give the man a second chance. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
They worked together. We all need second chances. Sometimes others help us when we need second chances, and sometimes we can help others when they need second chances. Okay, think about that. When you're at home, talk about it with your families, what they think about that whole thing. Okay? Thank you very much for listening. You've listened so well. I like talking to children that listen well. Okay, you can go back to your seat.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.